Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started. Welcome to One Moment Wiser. This is Christy Bridges, and today I have a different kind of interview, and I am really excited about this. I met Jordan Desbien.
Is it Desbien?
Desbien. Oh, it's French. Okay, Desbien. Oui. I met Jordan Desbien a couple of weeks ago, and we started talking about something that is so close to my heart. You all know that I like men. I think men are people too, and sometimes women, we think that we're all we need, and it's great to be independent, but we tend to push our guys kind of off to the corner. And that just breaks my heart, because men need to be needed, right? I mean, they have a place in this world, a very important place. Well, Jordan actually has a program called Vital Men, because he recognizes that. But he also has an insight that I don't have into an understanding that can help men to really take their place, to really, you know, embrace who they are. So Jordan, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Christy.
You bet. I am so glad you're here. So can you tell me, let's backtrack just a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about your backstory? What got you to the point where you said, I need to create Vital Men?
Okay, that's a loaded question. So once upon a time, a man and a woman got together, and me.
Ta-da!
So I was born to a woman, and I love my mom, and I want to preface everything that I say with, I'm not speaking from a place of hurt, but from a place of healed. And so some of the things that I'm going to say are not representative of who I am anymore, who my mother is anymore, et cetera. My mom was a bit of a crazy party girl. And so I never met my father, my biological father. And in her younger BC years, she'd been married a few times. So I'd had a few stepdads. And I think her intention was she wanted to have a father for me, but she was also wanting something, you know, for herself, as women do, that they want that partner. And so going through this life as a child, when you are learning and like a sponge pulling everything in, not having a solid, consistent father, it really takes a toll. Yeah. Maybe not immediately, but especially down the line. And so the only consistent father figure I had was my grandfather, which he happened to die when I was 16. So, yeah. But my most current, or my current stepdad, who's actually now my legal father, adopted me when I was young, I think 12. I don't remember exactly, but I think 12. And I love the guy. He is very, very giving of himself. He's very loyal, but he's not very assertive. He's not an authority figure, and he's not someone that I ever looked up to. And again, I love the guy. Yeah. That's he'd never stepped into that position. And having this growing up, you know, with my mom, she says we grew up together. Mm-hmm. I say that we grew up together, but I also helped raise her. There were some things that she did that I witnessed, and it really affected my perception and the way that I viewed her in our relationship. Created a lot of unhealthy soul ties, a lot of unhealthy habits. And as I got older, that progressed to where I still had this need to take care of her and make sure that she was doing okay. And getting into being married that affected a lot of my marriage, because I would kind of put my mom not above my wife, but almost on the same level, to where I had to equally make sure that they were both okay and they were taken care of and things were done. And
it's exhausting.
It is, but it also creates a lot of friction between me and my wife, between me and my mom, and between my wife and my mom. And that was exhausting. That's a really good way to put it. But it also put me in a very unique position to be able to step outside and kind of take an objective look at the dynamic of the situation.
Oh, good.
We went to some therapy, me and my wife, and the therapist told us and told me that I have what they call an enmeshed relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. It's not life and death, but it can be very damaging, and it can hinder your intimacy and trust and things with your spouse.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of make that choice to say, you know what, my wife, besides God, my wife comes first, my immediate family comes second, and then everything else follows in an order of priority. And that was difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult in the beginning. As I made those choices consistently, it became easier. But even today, it's still a very difficult thing for my mother.
Yeah.
I am responsible for the way that I see things, the way that I view things, my actions. I'm not responsible for the actions or the position that someone else takes.
Right.
And especially with my mom, I can't take the burden of, well, she needs to feel okay with my decision.
Right.
And so even though it may feel to her like I have betrayed her, because this is how we've lived for, you know, 30 plus years.
Right.
That cutting off was very important for kind of the next season of me really trying to understand what it is to have your identity as the head of your household, as someone who is responsible for the well-being of your family, and to kind of come into your own identity.
So what I'm hearing is, as a child, you learned that you were good at taking care of your mom to the extent that you were able as a child, you know, with a mom right. who is free adult. And you kind of saw that maybe like a lot of us do as a feeling of power, a feeling of success, a feeling of, you know, this is where I fit.
Almost fulfillment, like you right, feel filled with those. Yeah,
you do. And then as you grew up, you found that you couldn't quite leave that role mm-hmm. and step into your next role, your mm-hmm. the next part of your life,
mm-hmm.
Unless you made a major change. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard for someone who has been dependent on someone else, and also who, you know, you were, if you know, as if we go through different marriages, we still have this part of us, right? This biological connection to this person who never leaves us, who's always mm-hmm. there. Yeah. And that can be scary to allow that shift. But as moms, we have to know that our goal is to raise a child who will be a beneficial part of society, right? Who's going to have mm-hmm. their own life that's not ours. And yeah, that takes a lot of adjustment. But and I know that guilt must have been really hard until you came to a point where you had to get therapy for your marriage.
Yeah.
And you knew that mattered enough to endure that, right? Or to cut off that guilt.
And I think I agree with you. You know, you said as moms, you have this responsibility. I don't know. I'm not a mom. I'll never be a mom. I can't speak from that perspective. But I can speak from the perspective of a man and say men have a responsibility. You know, in the Bible it says, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah.
As that's not the sole responsibility of moms. It's not the sole responsibility of dads, but it is the responsibility of parents. I, as a child, I didn't get necessarily both sides of that. You know, I didn't get it from one side, but I definitely didn't get it from the other. Yeah. And so as a man now, looking back, as I said, I can look back very objectively, is I was never taught how to be a man. I was never taught how to, even at the most basic, shave. And yeah. I still don't know how to shave. But
it works.
The building blocks of manhood, how to build relationships with other men, how to cultivate intimacy with, you know, your wife, your spouse, how to lead people, how to, you know, a lot of those things. My grandfather taught me some really great things. He was a business owner. He taught me how to use my hands, how to work. He also taught me a lot of very unsavory things that men shouldn't teach young boys. But, you know, I had to navigate a lot of that myself. And it took me all of 33 years to get where I am today. I couldn't have done it, you know, 10 years ago. I couldn't have done it 5 years ago. It really was when I got married to my wife that God made a big change in my heart and allowed me to begin to transition into this mode of intentionality and focus on, and I'm not, I say this to everyone, even on my podcast, I am not speaking from a place of the guru or the expert or the epitome of whatever I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm a work in progress. And what qualifies me to speak on it is I have a desire and a willingness to do so.
Yes. And personal experiences.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody is a little different, but no, I appreciate that you don't claim to speak for everybody, but you really have put intentionality into understanding the part that you've done. So you mentioned a couple of things that I don't know, even men who are raised by their fathers, I don't know that they always get how to cultivate healthy relationships with other men.
Absolutely.
How to nurture intimacy with your wife. That's not something that I see a lot of guys capable of doing. There seems to always, at least in my world, there are some guys who really have like this tribe that's great. Mm-hmm. And then there are some guys, a whole lot of guys, who just navigate the world completely on their own, it seems mm-hmm. like. So can you help us?
Yeah. I am the latter. I recognize something recently, a couple things. Really, since I've started Vital Men, I've had a lot of these cool little revelations. Nice. And one of those is, in reading my Bible, there are so many instances of men having covenant relationships with other men. I have never met a man on this earth in person that has been in covenant with another man in the definition, the biblical definition of what a covenant is. And I think that that's, and this is completely my opinion, I think that that's something that's missing from masculinity, is these covenant relationships. Covenant relationships are so intimate. Like, if you were to look at two men who were in a covenant relationship, who were friends, like in a lot of biblical, I'm trying to think, it was David and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, those guys maybe are a little weird, but that's not the case. They were just so close and so intimate with each other. They loved each other so much, but it wasn't an infatuation or a desire love. It was a deep, deep care for each other, for the well-being. And so in these covenant relationships, a lot of the dynamic was, everything that I have, everything that I own is completely at your disposal. Anything you're going through, I want to walk through it with you. And that is extremely intentional. That doesn't happen by accident. And so I am looking to start cultivating and initiating men to begin pursuing covenant relationships. I am pursuing covenant relationships. Another thing that was really interesting that I got some revelation on was the kind of the ideals and the intentions of how men act and think and reason. And that ties into 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, which says that when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things behind me. And I think the fulcrum of that verse says, when I became a man, I put. It wasn't that they fell. They didn't disappear. He intentionally, I put childish things behind me. I made that choice. I actively participated in pursuing and becoming that man. So men, me included, have not put childish things behind us. We are still acting very selfishly. We're looking for the self-fulfilling things. We're not self-sacrificial like we used to be. We're not putting those childish things behind you. We're still making sure that our mom is kind of up there with wife, or even sometimes higher than wife. There was my generation is kind of more social media, TikToks and this and that, and a lot of these candid interviews on the street. And there was a video that kind of inspired that talk that I did on my podcast about that. And it was a guy going around and saying, hey, wife, kids, mom, put them in order of priority. And one guy said, mom, kids, wife. Wife's replaceable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times women do the same thing. Oh, that's terrible.
You know?
Oh, my goodness.
Kids, I think kids are very, very important. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
In order to follow the structure that God has given us, your kids come second to your spouse, no matter what. And that can be extremely hard, especially for people who have been hurt by a spouse or by someone who they've been in a relationship with. Because the kids, we have this, you know, inherent need to, or this natural instinct to love our kids and take care of our kids and make sure our kids are okay. And they are consistently in our life. And let's say there's a single parent who has kids, and then they come to another relationship. Well, their kids have been there longer, so they take priority. And that, although logically and naturally that would make sense on paper, that is a recipe for unhealthy, unbalanced relationships.
And now, a lot of grief.
Now and in the future.
Yeah, a lot of grief. We have to model for our children what a healthy relationship is.
Yes.
In order for them to have one. And if we're too, sometimes I've done everything for my kids and now they're gone. You know, now they don't even want to talk to me. We can get into that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that comes from not prioritizing right. And we still have to be careful, right? There are people who will hurt our kids. We have to be diligent to protect them. But no, I agree. It really does make for a healthier child growing into adult if they see a healthy parental relationship, even though sometimes they may resist that because, you know, I mean, hello, when we're kids, we want to be first.
I think that, yes, there's a balance with that too, of protecting your children, but also, when we talked before, you know, I said, I think everybody for one thing or another has to learn the hard way. And when it comes to growing up and when it comes to finding your identity and making decisions, if you are protected from every bad decision, as soon as that protection's gone, you're probably going to make a bad decision.
So
I think that it's important to allow your children to make not necessarily bad decisions. You don't want your 4-year-old going smoking meth, but
not today.
You want to allow them to weigh consequences and give them, instead of protecting them from a situation, give them information that can help them make a decision. Yeah. And you have to have discernment with that. You can't, you know, again, tell a child, you know, hey, if you rob a bank, like, okay, now here, go ahead and make a decision. You have to allow them to begin navigating those choices, to train them. That verse, train a child up in the way it should go. If you are shielding a child, you're not training them. You're keeping them from experience. Training sometimes involves scraping a knee or falling. And instead of, you know, man, that's something cool. You know, a coach, when he's teaching a football team, he has them do drills. He has them do practice. Yeah. There's a, I don't remember what the guy's name is. I know there's a movie about it. Anyway, the Spartans.
Oh yeah.
Gerard Butler. I don't remember his name in the movie, but really they would train harder than they would ever fight in battle. Their goal was to bleed more in training than they ever would in an actual fight. Yeah. Because whatever they face is going to be easier than what they've already done. And if they can do the hard stuff in a safe environment, when they go to face those challenges, it's going to be much easier to make better decisions and to be safer with things. And so in that same light, when you have a child, you're training them for battle, for when they're not under your protection, for when they can't make mistakes and have grace and land not super soft to where they don't get hurt, but to get hurt, but have the opportunity to get up and do it again.
Gotcha. I like it. And, you know, I mean, just giving them, and we start small, right? We give them mm-hmm. little decisions they can make, but we don't keep it small.
Yeah.
Because we want them when they're on their own to already be in the habit of choosing well. And so little things like you've got 10 days off, you know, that you can take off of school without failing this grade, right?
Yeah.
So you feel a little nauseous this morning. How many months do you have to go before the end of school? Maybe you should space this out, you know, and it's your choice.
Yes.
And then they can, you know, start to budget their days. They can start to plan things a little better, things a little better.
And I think, I mean, talking about choices, someone put in the comments, I think it's cool. I can read these comments. King Leonidas. Leonidas was the guy I was talking about. But making choices leads to the things that we will experience in the future. And something else that we talked about, because we've talked before we're having this interview, was the difference between consequences and condemnation.
Mm, yes.
And that's something that I think is so important to recognize as you're walking through trials. When you make choices, those choices are planting seeds. Your actions, the things you say, and those seeds are going to go into soil, your life, and they're going to eventually sprout and bear fruit. Yeah. And so when you're walking through really hard times, it's very important to analyze the situation and say, is this the consequences of my actions, of my choices, of the things that I've said, or is this condemnation? Is this something coming against me? Because when you can recognize consequences or condemnation, you now know what your response should be. Grace is important. Mm-hmm. Grace is important. We talked about that. And grace is unmerited favor. And God's grace will, you know, this says grace covers a multitude of sins. So even if we do have consequences, grace can step in. But if you have consequences, it's important as a man to take ownership and not try and get out of it. You know, you my prayer when I am at that decision of, are these consequences or is this condemnation? When I recognize this is consequences, my prayer is, God, I know that I've brought this here. I know that I have walked myself into this. Take this cup from my lips, but not my will, yours be done. You know, modeling kind of that prayer of, I know that this is something that I need to do. I know that this is something I need to walk through. I would love for you to take it from me, but I want to be in your will.
Yeah. And knowing that he's going to walk through it with you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Romans 8, you talked about consequences and condemnation. And I just want to pause for those who are not used to this kind of conversation. Romans 8 tells us there is no condemnation mm-hmm. for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
And what this tells us is if we are not experiencing our consequences, mm-hmm. you know, that we've created for ourselves, then we may be experiencing resistance. If God is good, then there's someone bad out there, right?
Yeah.
And you can look around you and see that there is evil in the world. So if there's something that's coming at you that you didn't help create, then that's not of God. And you can say, Lord, you know, maybe God's allowing you to go through a challenge, mm-hmm. or maybe it's something that he can just stop. And mm-hmm. you can go to God and say, hey, this is happening. You know, help me to see clearly what you are doing, but take care of me.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Absolutely.
And so when we're talking about consequences, even then God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Even then God is with us. And Jesus proved that sometimes God is willing to take our consequences completely because they're more than, you know, is beneficial for
absolutely.
Us to go through. Yeah.
The wages of sin is death. So our life, we've earned death from sin.
Yeah.
But we don't have to experience that. And that is an example of the grace of God.
That's all we have time for today. If you're enjoying this interview, please share it with your friends and join us next week as we continue. Meanwhile, join me for 2-minute daily devotional videos Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit 1, momentwiser.com, or on social media at onemomentwiser. God bless you.